And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up Monday, Kaiser Family Foundation health reporter Julie Rovner joins us to discuss the cost of health insurance coverage in America, the issue that lies at the heart of the federal government shutdown. Plus, the award-winning journalist and author Dara Horn. She'll be giving this year's James S. Carden Memorial Lecture at Loyola University. She'll talk about the current state of anti-Semitism in the wake of the war in Gaza. So that's coming up Monday on Midday. My next guest today is Jeff Kinney. The Maryland native and University of Maryland grad is the author of the best-selling children's book series, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. He launched the award-winning series in 2007. He's published a new installment nearly every year, which have sold more than 300 million copies worldwide. The 20th installment in the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series is called Party Pooper. It'll be available for sale Tuesday. Jeff Kinney's coming to Baltimore's Dumbarton Middle School on Monday night as part of his Party Pooper tour. Jeff Kinney and I spoke earlier this week. He joined us on Zoom. Jeff Kinney, welcome to the show. Great to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I wonder, if you have sold 300 million copies of your books, as you write this 20th installment and as you move on now to number 21, I guess, are you conscious of the size, the incredible impact of your audience as you're writing? Has that affected how you're writing as opposed to when you wrote the very first one and you weren't sure you'd have any audience?
You know, it's funny because it really hasn't. I feel like I'm living the same year over and over again. And I'm about to go on tour, and I'll tour the US, and then I'll go overseas and go to about 9 countries. And then come January, I'll be back with the blank page. And my life feels really, really small at that moment. And I feel like I might never write another funny thing. So it's very humbling. I often start by writing at the cemetery. I'll park my car at the cemetery and work there because it's really quiet. So at that moment, it feels like incomprehensible that I'm going to have a book at the end of the year.
Now, parking in a cemetery to write a children's book, there's got to be some Freudian significance to that. Have you ever chatted about that with a professional?
Well, 2 of the books that I wrote were spooky stories books, so that felt normal. But, you know, Party Pooper wouldn't have been such a good launch in a cemetery.
When you tour internationally, I understand, for example, that you went to China for the first time recently. Does it translate to the funny? Because your books are hysterical. I mean, I haven't read a Diary of a Wimpy Kid book in a while. My child is past that stage in her reading life now. She's a writer, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
And but like, you know, in a place like China or India or even, you know, places in Western Europe, do the jokes translate?
I think that they do. Of course, there's a language barrier, so it's hard for me to tell for sure. But the crowds in China make me feel like the books are working. It's really a wild experience to go into a classroom or into a school auditorium in China as a, you know, as a U.S. citizen. And I'm thinking, you know, am I the only one who's allowed to do this? This is really strange and really different. But I think that what I sense is happening is that my characters are so simplistic that it's easy for a kid to project themselves onto my characters. And they see themselves in Greg and their family members and Greg's family members. So I think that there's a universality about the stories here, that we all share this same childhood experience in a way.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, the universality of the things that you have in these books. I love in this newest one, Party Pooper, the kinds of insights you have. Like there's a section about when Greg has to write thank you cards for all the birthday presents
right.
that he's always gotten. And every kid dreads that. And right. I can imagine that that's, you know, no different in China than it is in, you know, Peoria, Illinois. What's the opposite of wimpy? I think every kid can also identify with being wimpy, whatever that means. But what does it mean, and what do you see as its polar opposite? And do kids ever talk to you about that when they talk about your books?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that the word wimpy itself has lost its meaning to me, when I started writing the books, I thought Diary of a Wimpy Kid, you know, here's this kid who's kind of powerless. He doesn't have a lot of agency in his life, and he looks, you know, he looks weak. But Wimpy now, to me, you know, in my life, feels like a brand. So it doesn't, it's lost its meaning. But I think the opposite of it would be heroic or strong, of course, popular, but mostly a kid having agency. You know, the thing about this age, Greg Heffley, a middle schooler, is that he's aware of what's going on around him, and he's also aware of the fact that he is not in control of his life. He doesn't make the decisions that matter. His parents do. So I think Wimpy has become this kind of designation of a lack of agency that a lot of kids can see.
We're talking to Jeff Kinney. He's the author of the best-selling book series Diary of a Wimpy Kid. The 20th installment is about to be published on Tuesday. It's called Party Pooper. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. So, Jeff, you know, in this particular book, I don't think I'm giving too much away when I say that Greg's family actually forgets his birthday.
Yes.
You know, and that is tragic on so many levels. But Greg has these tremendous insights to, you know, what it's like to be a kid. He even talks about, you know, when you're born, it's terribly embarrassing. You pop out and you're naked and all these people are walking around and that kind of stuff. How do you tap into the insights of a middle schooler, you know, viewing the world?
Yeah, maybe it's some sort of defect in my character that I can tap into that. And I, you know, I'm 54 now, and I do worry. I think, you know, when I'm 60, am I really going to be able to write as a kid? Is it going to be believable? I think the best compliment I ever got from somebody online was that they couldn't detect the adult behind Greg Heffley. And that's what I really strive for. I know Greg is sort of a little bit wise and snarky, but I think he also reads authentically as a kid most of the time. And that's my hope.
Yeah, and that insight is important and fun. It's all, the jokes are funny to adults too. I mean, they're funny to kids, I'm sure, but I think that they're funny to adults. They're certainly funny to me. And the way that the books, you know, physically, visually appear with a written out script and then all of these illustrations, do you write it out first? Do you write the book and then illustrate it? You go back and illustrate it, or do you illustrate as you go along? Do you think of the pictures as you're thinking of the scenes in each chapter? Or each page?
I guess it's a little bit complicated. I actually start with the jokes. So these days I probably write somewhere between maybe 1,500 and 1,700 jokes per book. And once I've written the jokes, I know it's time for me to start writing the manuscript, but I've already got the pictures in my head. So when I write the jokes, I have the image in my head. And so the last step is actually to illustrate the book and fit the drawings into this puzzle of 217 pages.
1,500 or 1,700 jokes per book. That seems like a lot of jokes and seems like a really difficult task to put before yourself. Is that any easier now than it was 20 books ago?
I have this method that I use now. It's called systematic inventive thinking that somebody else came up with. And it's this way of being creative that's a systematic process. It's very, very helpful. So in the early days, I used to just rely on my own memories of growing up in Fort Washington, Maryland. And after about 5 books, I had tapped out all of my funny childhood memories. So these days I have to use this systematic approach to write my jokes, and it's working really well.
So can you give us some insight into what a systematic approach to joke writing is? I mean, I've read a couple of books about the writer's room at Saturday Night Live, didn't seem to be very systematic at all. It seemed to be no. It seemed to be a lot of cocaine involved, at least at one time. I mean, how does one be creative systematically? That's fascinating.
Yeah, well, let's say I'm writing a book about airplane travel. Greg's going on a trip with his family. The first thing I'll do is I'll write all of the components of an airplane. So let's say the pilot, the wings, the seats, the barf bags, the passengers, the lavatories in the back. I just write down all the components. So that's not a creative step. It's just listing. And then what I'll do is I'll apply about 5 different tools to each one of the components. So let's say subtraction or division, multiplication. But let's say we subtract the pilot, right? And I say, okay, what happens if you subtract the pilot? What does that mean? And I came up with a joke where Greg, he's worried because there's some turbulence, and he thinks, well, if I was a pilot and I hit a little turbulence, I'd be out of there. And he thinks he'd like parachute to the ground, of course, like leaving all the passengers to deal with the turbulence. So that's a joke where Greg is a pilot and he's like, you know, in a parachute while the plane flies in the background. But that's a joke that came purely from subtraction. And so in this book that I'm mentioning right now, The Getaway, all of my jokes came from mostly subtraction. And then I use some other tools as well. So that's how I do it. It's a grind. But by the time I'm done with the process, I'll have enough jokes for a book.
Wow, that's really fascinating and clearly very productive because it's worked beautifully for all these 300 million books that you've been able to sell. That's fantastic. Do you know a lot of comedy writers? Do you hang in those circles?
I don't know many. I know some children's writers, and we have a bookstore here in Massachusetts, so a lot come through our doors. But I heard recently that Amy Poehler thinks that my books are really funny, and that was really cool to hear.
Yeah, that is really cool because she's really funny.
Yeah,
clearly, that's high praise. Yeah, that's great. Because some of the insights, I was fascinated. For example, you have a page of FAQs for kids, the kinds of questions that adults always ask kids. You know, particularly middle school kids. You know, how's school? And then there's the standard answer: fine. You know,
right.
And those really, they resonate. I can imagine how a 12-year-old is going to really resonate with that. So even when they're not like kind of jokes, they're still, they're so firmly based in reality. Do you have any young readers that sort of read your manuscripts before you publish them? Who do you run them by?
No, I only pass them by adult readers. Maybe I should try some kids one of these days. But it's funny that you mentioned that joke. I'm writing in this book about the birthday call, right? Is that Greg it's Greg's birthday night, and he starts getting the calls from his relatives, and they start asking him the standard questions that every kid gets. And that's sort of my sweet spot, because like every kid goes through that, you know, everyone, you know, knows what it's like to hear the words like, you know, Aunt Tilly's on the phone, you know, and
yeah.
You're kind of like, but kids don't have the language to describe that. You know, they don't, they're probably not talking to their friends about that, but they've had that experience. And so that's what I'm writing about. That's sort of the sweet spot for Wimpy Kid, because I'm giving kids the language to describe something, you know, that's sort of a shared experience.
And, you know, it is a shared experience that is, as you say, very universal. What can families and kids expect as part of the Party Pooper Tour event that you're doing at Dumbarton Middle School on Monday?
I feel so badly that I've made you say party pooper several times, but thank you for
that's
that.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. No problem.
The Party Pooper Show. We're doing something really fun. What we're going to do is that night, we're going to be counting down to the 300 million book sold moment. So the conceit is that we, in error, we jumped the gun, we printed 300 million sold on the cover, but we haven't quite gotten there. So we're going to get there tonight. This is a night we can feel it, but we keep getting interrupted by different party poopers, including a clown named Hopeless and a toxic influencer mom and many other party poopers who keep stepping on our moment. In between, we're going to bring families up on the stage and do all sorts of party games and kind of, you know, really fun activities. So it's something really different. You know, it's really different from a normal kids event. And we've been developing these shows for years and are really proud of them.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Any show that includes a clown named Hopeless Sign me up, babe. I'm in. That's great. Jeff Kinney is the author of the best-selling book series, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the 20th installment in the hit series. Let me say it one more time, Party Pooper. It hits bookstores on Tuesday. Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Have a good tour, and best of luck with this and all the other books.
Thank you so much.
Jeff Kinney will be coming to Baltimore for a ticketed event Monday night at the Dumbarton Middle School. Come to the Midday webpage for links to ticket information. And coming up, our weekly theater review with J. Wynn Russick. Today, Judy tells us about the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's production of Jane Austen's Persuasion. It's a new stage adaptation by Sarah Rose Kearns. We'll talk about it after a quick break. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.